Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to last half hour of, as Ed would say, this here show on American Family Radio. I'm Tim with Walker and Ed. Thank you for listening to American Family Radio. Steve Jordahl joins us now. How you doing, Steve?
I'm well. But this Colorado boy's kind of enjoying the weather outside. It's cold.
You're in Tupelo, MS. You like the 25 degree nights?
It's bracing. It's kind of fun.
My heater cut on last night.
Oh,
for the first time in a while. So Colorado. So you're saying your years in Colorado made you enjoy cold weather?
I prefer cold to heat. I can bundle up easier.
That's
than
where
I can,
you and I separate.
Maybe.
By the way, Tim, did I hear you just angered our listeners?
Really?
In Iowa and Ohio and places like that, when you said my heater just kicked on last night for the first time in a long time.
I can understand how that would be interpreted.
There are people
in certain parts of the country.
Poor thing. Your heater kicked on.
Well, you're talking to a man who's for global warming. So I know you leave your car running a little longer than you need to.
Right?
I know I'm in a vast minority, but that's where I stand, and I can take no other.
And these last 10 to 12 years of the human race in existence, you're right. Going to enjoy it in warm weather, aren't you?
Well, I'll be gone in hopefully a couple, 3 decades. So, all right. So anyway, I personally, having studied this some to form an opinion, while there may be, quote, global warming, they've switched to climate change now, you know, these people, because that way anything that happens they can say is climate change.
Right.
And I go, yeah, so you're right, it's climate change. But global warming, while there might be global warming going on, although if you, it's not man-made, okay?
Right.
It's a natural cycle of the globe.
Yes.
All right. Which, as long as it doesn't impact golf season in a great way, I'm not going to be worried about it too much. So is that a voice of moral conviction right there or not?
That's a voice of reason is what that is.
Thank you very much.
I think they call you like a realist maybe.
Okay. So anyway, all right. Thank you, Walker.
Yes, sir.
My son.
It's a compliment.
Wanting to get your wheel increased there, aren't you? You're part of the wheel increase.
Wouldn't say it if I was.
All right.
It's hard. It must be hard if you're Wesley and you don't have all the chances that you have if you're Walker on this
well,
show.
Well, Wesley's office is right beside mine.
There you go.
So he comes in. All right. So Steve, it's all yours. Where are we going?
I want to talk a little bit about this gathering at the Virginia at the Capitol yesterday where a bunch of people who were Second Amendment supporters came, and a lot of them brought their weapons. The media was apoplectic going into this. I want you to hear the way the media, this is a montage of different media types talking about what was going to be happening. This is cut two.
Thousands of gun rights activists, white nationalists, militia groups all swarming the Virginia State Capitol.
Extremists, white supremacists could spark violence.
Threats of violence. White nationalists and far-right militias from across the country.
There's a lot of concern about the potential for violence.
Armed militia, white nationalist groups.
Far-right extremists, white supremacists may cause violence there.
White nationalists are rallying in Virginia's capital.
That's just... I say this almost every day I'm on this show.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I can't believe these people.
Well, it was...
It's so blatant.
It is, but listen. This is
the only thing they should just continue to pile on, folks. These are people who kill and eat puppies,
right?
Well, they pluck up daisies for no good reason.
As it so happened, there was no violence, and as far as this being a white supremacist gathering, I want you to hear from Antonia Okafor Kofor. She is a spokeswoman for Gun Owners of America, part of Project 21. She's African American, and she was at the rally yesterday.
You mean a black woman
is a white
nationalist?
Well, I don't know. Listen to cut one.
This was by far, hands down, the worst white supremacist rally I've ever seen.
Oh,
there were people shaking my hand. I mean, they even let me speak, for goodness sake. So we're 20,000 people there. So it's almost as if MLK's dream to see that people judge people based on the content of their character and not the color of their skin has actually become reality.
There you go.
So
the worst white nationalist rally she'd ever seen
is they just don't make white nationalists like they used to.
They don't.
These aren't your daddy's white nationalists.
Oh, man.
Fist pump, Ed.
Yes, sir.
Fist pump. Well played. Greek Italian.
That was a great comment from her. That's a black lady who's head of gun
owners.
What's
her name?
Spokesperson for Gun Owners of America. Her name is Antonia Okafor Kofor. And it's the last name is Okafor, and Kover is spelled Cover.
You like talk cover. About making a stretch that people who like their guns are also white supremacist.
Right.
What
and
a
militia
leap.
Group.
What a leap.
Yeah.
Well, they wanted those people we heard commenting from the media, that montage, they wanted so desperately for something to go wrong yesterday in Virginia.
Yeah,
and Richmond.
And this morning, Fred, in our meeting, talked about the power of the media to really – the media picks the narrative, then they go with it. The media, in this case, they were trying to self-fulfill their own prophecy of a Charlottesville 2.0 where you got, conservatives, gun owners, and then Antifa comes in and they fight and then they blame it all on President Trump.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what they were trying to get to happen by their rhetoric. They were trying to fire up the audience, if you will, and then it just didn't work out how they planned.
It's like when they would rag on the Tea Party people.
Right.
They would have these big rallies, and you know what they would do? They would pick up their garbage, put it in the garbage bins, and they would leave
with their strollers and
with their strollers and their babies. And the police would say, "We've never seen a rally like this. This place was cleaner than when they got here."
Interesting. Yeah. I did see video of these Second Amendment supporters picking up trash after the rally.
Mm-hmm.
They
I
were.
Saw that too.
And to your point, Walker, Antifa actually there was one Antifa chapter or group that actually marched in the rally in support of the Second Amendment.
Really?
Well, they love their guns. They love violence. So, but they didn't. They didn't. Partake in any violence yesterday. It was a very peaceful, very patriotic event.
I saw a montage, and it's probably similar to the one you've seen, but where this like 5 minutes of hype and rhetoric about how the world's going to end in Richmond yesterday, and then at the end, a CNN commentator says, "We've had absolutely no incidents here in Richmond, Virginia today. Back to you, so-and-so in Atlanta."
Hey, there's nothing better. I like when we play these montages. There's nothing better than hearing over and over and over again. It's
you know,
like,
this is the white nationalist that cried wolf syndrome, I think, going on here. Are the news media that cried white nationalist,
yeah.
I guess I should say. Got my fables mixed up, trying to use them as a metaphor.
Yeah, that white nationalist fable.
The white nationalist. You remember that as a child?
That's right. They live under a bridge, and they eat kids who wander off in their homes.
Now, kids, get in bed. It's time for our night reading of a fable.
Grimm's Fables Fairy Tales.
Tonight, we're going to read about the white nationalists in the cotton patch.
The big, bad white nationalists. Okay. What big ears you have, Grandma.
Right.
I'm on a roll today.
This
aren't
little
I?
Piggy was eaten by the white nationalist. Oh my goodness!
I just want to make sure.
Please.
For those folks out there who are literalists,
right.
And can't tell that this is satire. We're
right.
Just having some fun at the expense of the news media. We do want to say right. All of us here, all
right.
of us here, do
right.
not believe there's anything funny about actual white nationalism or white supremacy. All right, because there are people out there going, they're making fun of white nationalism.
I just want to make
that point.
What do you got going on here? What we're really making fun of is this: the Democrats, the left wing media in this country, and the woke crowd, some of which includes some people who would identify as Christians. They want you to believe that there is this vast network of people out there in America who are white nationalists, and they are a threat to all minorities, and they are just on the verge. They're Trump supporters. In fact, that's who they are.
Like their marching orders.
There's no difference in their minds between Trump supporters
and
white nationalists.
Yeah, they've got swastikas tattooed on their chest. And their cross burnings,
right,
on the weekend,
right?
Okay, and that's millions of Americans out there.
Yeah,
that's what they want you to believe, and so that's their narrative. Because why? Because they want to scare the living daylights out of the rest of America, so that you vote against Trump and the Republicans, so that you fight back against white nationalism and other things.
Right.
So that's what's going on.
You are not.
By the way, can you? Why do whites have a corner on nationalism? Can you not have a black nationalist?
There are
brown nationalists.
Yeah, there are black nationalists.
Yellow nationalists.
Well, I guess.
Well, and also,
and do they all hold hands and sing?
You know, the left's very good at setting the tone or the definition of they're basically rebrand different terms and titles and things, and nationalism has really gotten a bad rap amongst the media, and they've really taken it out of context, because traditionally nationalism has been something that has nothing to do with skin color, has everything to do with you're proud to be in your country,
and
you're proud of your heritage, where your country came from, the principles and the freedoms that we have. And they've taken that, and then they've tried to tie racism with it, right, as if they're one and the same.
That's why President Trump has said he's a nationalist.
Yeah.
He's America first.
Yeah. America first.
Right.
What's wrong? There's nothing wrong with that, but the media is trying to make that seem like...
Well, because, like Walker said, they are linking racism and white supremacy to the nationalism in order to destroy nationalism. Why? Because they're globalists.
Yes, that's right.
And nationalism gets in the way of globalism.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Duly noted, Ed.
Boom.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ed, Walker, and Steve. Next story, Steve.
Well, President Trump is in Davos, Switzerland. I don't know if you guys mentioned that.
Last week.
He's in where, Switzerland?
Davos, D-A-V-O-S, Davos, Switzerland. And there's an economic forum that goes on there every year, and he is speaking. And basically what he's saying is that America is open for business. He's hoping to lure more business towards America.
He's a nationalist, then.
He is a nationalist. Well, and this morning on Fox and Friends, an interesting discussion with House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy. Ainsley Earhart, the host there, was noting that there's kind of a split screen. You have President Trump signing trade deals, speaking for America abroad, and then you have the Democrats impeaching the guy. And McCarthy noticed that they're always kind of paired. I want you to listen to cut four.
Every single day, it's been a contrast. We saw last week, it was Nancy Pelosi with impeachment, and then it was the president signing one of the trade deals. The next day, he did the other trade deal. Now he's over in Davos trying to make deals with other companies for America and putting America first.
You could take that even back further. September 24th, when the president is at the UN General Council, when all the world leaders are around, that's when Nancy Pelosi walked out and did her press conference, said she was moving forward with impeachment. Then you went to December 4th, when the president was acting, when he was in NATO. They went out and did the same announcement. They had those professors come in. They have timed it each and every time to try to upset this president, to try to talk about something else than what Congress should be working on.
It's planned. I would say it's uncanny, but it's planned.
I'm not shocked by a lot of politics is scheming. From either side. We're sure. Let's try to get this in the news, because, for the Democrats, it's pretty easy. They can get just about anything in the news and get the news media talking about it. Then the next day we do a montage, because we got all these folks saying the same thing as
it
the
is
Democratic
amazing.
Party.
It is amazing. I want to, every so often, I bring in some news of Democrat candidates, so those who may be likely or leaning towards voting for one of them will know what they're going to get. Joe Biden was asked yesterday about his immigration policy. I want you to hear what he had to say. This is cut 11.
How exactly would you detain immigrants, if at all, in a Biden administration?
The way we did when we reformed the system with the DACA, I would not retain them behind bars. They show
None
up. No, here's what they do. They show up. Sometimes you have an ankle bracelet, you set a hearing. We have to surge to the border, to the areas where people are being held. Get rid of all the cages, everybody out of prisons, be in a position where if the most you put on is an ankle bracelet, that you give a date, you're going to show up and for an immigration hearing, and they show up.
He's not apparently talking to any of the immigration workers down there.
How dehumanizing to put an ankle bracelet. I can't believe he's for that.
But I will tell you that is brilliant, because nobody has ever removed an ankle bracelet.
Right.
And disappeared into a major city.
And they show up, he says, back at their
other
hearings. Yeah, after they go to Chicago, and then they write on their calendar, must be in El Paso by May.
Right.
And they go.
Make the
and they
trip
show up for their hearing, and then if they're declined, they go home.
You know,
this is how it works.
This whole rhetoric and terminology on cages is so deceitful. Because if you apply that to every prison system and jail in our country, then you could say, well, all these people are in cages. And how bad does that sound?
They're drinking out of toilets, according to AOC.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
And you know what? Most of the time, that's a great point, Walker, because I wasn't even going to bring that up. You know, we almost allow them to capture the language and to frame the debate, saying that they're in cages.
Yeah,
didn't even bring it up.
Actually, if they're in cages, they were in cages while Biden was in vice president of the United States.
Yeah.
Because it's the same thing.
It's called a detention facility. They're all across the country.
Because they came into the country illegally.
Yeah.
Right. And voluntarily. And it's just, they, you know, the Democrats seem unable to have a rational conversation about real issues. If you want to talk about immigration reform or what they've been proposing, first of all of them except for Biden are for no borders. Huh? Maybe Klobuchar. I can't remember where she, Senator from Minnesota, I'm not exactly where she comes down on this.
Well, the New York Times will know because they endorsed
her. They endorsed her.
Double endorsement, by the
way. But all the Democrats, including Biden, are for de facto no borders.
Yes.
All right. They might as well just say that, right? And that some of them have.
Yeah.
No detention. And so that's just not I don't think that's a winning. Letting everybody in who wants to come in and giving them all free health care is just doesn't seem to me to be a winning issue for a presidential campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. But we shall see. There are a lot of Americans who are for open borders. There are. They vote Democrat.
Mm-hmm.
And they're for open borders. That's why almost all the candidates on the Democrat side will say they're for, again, de facto open borders. So I may hate to say that, but there are a lot of our fellow Americans who don't believe in borders.
Right.
So. Yeah. All right, what do you got, Steve?
I wanted to bring an inspirational story to us, maybe to close today.
Are you going
to
bless our hearts?
I'm going to bless your hearts. I'm not going to, bless but I hope hearts, this story
Steve.
Does.
Is this a six-minute story?
It depends on
is
how
this
long
your last
are
story?
You against too much positive news,
well,
Ed?
I don't want too much positive news. Forget it.
We need to stay negative if we can.
All right.
Steve.
No, go ahead.
Do you guys remember the iconic picture? It was a Pulitzer Award-winning picture of the what they call the napalm girl, this poor little girl, maybe 10 years old, running from her village that had just been napalmed. Her clothes had been burned off. She was running, screaming, crying, and they caught this horror of war picture. Well, her name...
Vietnam, you're talking about.
In Vietnam. This is 1973 or 4. Her name is Kim Phuc Phan Thi, and she has recently come back into the public light. Someone discovered her and wanted to find out what had happened to her. And I want you to hear this little excerpt from about a 4-minute docu thing that we'll post up on our Facebook page. This is Cut 19.
I remember June 8, 1972, I saw the airplane, and it's so loud, so close to me. Suddenly, the fire everywhere around me. The fire burned off my clothes, and I saw my arm got burned with the fire. I didn't like that picture at all. I felt like, why he took my picture when it was agony, naked, so ugly. I wish that picture wasn't taken. It built me up with hatred, bitterness, and anger. I just living with the question, why me? In 1982, I wanted to take my life because I thought after I die, no more suffer, no more pain. Eventually, I found the New Testament in the library in Saigon. In Christmas 1982, I became a Christian. Since I have faith, my enemies list became my prayer list. I realized myself, wow, Kim, you pray for your enemies. It means you love. Forgiveness set my heart free.
That's just a minute and a half or so of a 4-minute mind-blowing testimony. Just the fact that God reaches down to a public library in Vietnam,
yeah.
not what you would consider a gospel-oriented country, but there was a New Testament in this communist country,
yeah.
And she found Christ.
Wow.
And she's not famous now. Her picture was famous. That's what, if you look at any kind of photo log or a book about the Vietnam War, you're going to see that picture.
It's tragic.
Where can you watch more of this?
Where'd you get that video?
Yeah. The video is CBC. It's Christian Broadcasting Network has done this, and it's
CBN.
CBC.
CBC. Maybe it's Canadian Broadcasting Company. It was a secular company that put this out.
Okay.
We will post the whole video up on our Facebook page. But as she goes on and talks about the scars, the pain that she had, her kids would love and kiss her scars. Now she works with kids that have been through trauma. She
wow.
is invested in schools, helping build schools and teach kids and build into lives what Jesus has done in her life. She's passing on to others.
Well, that's an extraordinary story, and that's the power of the gospel, where her
yeah.
enemies list has now turned into a prayer list.
Right?
Praying for her enemies. Mm. That's the power of God. Only God can change a person like that.
Yeah.
And change a person like that, I mean, immediately when a person gives their heart. Now, sometimes you struggle to forgive enemies. I'm not making light of that struggle, but that flip-flop of the human heart can only be
this
done by God.
Also yeah. reminds us of the importance of getting Bibles all over the world.
Right.
Amen. That's
yeah.
right.
We need missionaries all over the world, absolutely. And most of us listening to this support missionaries either individually or churches or both.
Right.
But also, I think of the Gideons International, for example, mm. and other...
And Wycliffe. Tim Todd.
Yes,
with
and Tim Todd.
Our
and
friend.
Other ministries, Revival Fires and others that help get the Bible, the Word of God, which is the power to change lives, as we just heard,
yeah.
all over the globe. All right, thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
And Walker, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, appreciate your contribution.
Absolutely. Enjoyed a great story there at the end, Steve.
5-minute story.
Yep.
Our thanks
yes.
to Sandy and Frank and Fred and Brent Creeley, our producer. We shall see you back here tomorrow, folks. Hope you have a great rest of the day. Keep listening to American Family Radio.